Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan, celebrating 10 years of the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. I'm Duran Martinez. Alex Clark joining us. And, of course, we'll get to our fine guests here in just a couple of minutes. But we want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Getting closer to bow season. We are just a couple of weeks away till October 1st. And hopefully the weather will cooperate. But the Lucky Buck always cooperates. Put it out year-round. But make sure you're not using it in the Tri-County area of Ingham, Clinton, and Shiawassee because there's a ban on baiting and feeding and supplements and the like. So, again, go to lucky-buck.com to find out all the rules for your area, wherever you listen, and they will have a complete list. Abe does a great job of putting those up. Thanks also to Darton Archery, Costa Sunglasses, and our friend Nate over at Nate DeShong Photography. The guy just did my wedding recently and very happy to be married to my lovely bride, Sarah Marie, which you might have seen her on the Facebook, on the Wild Michigan page, where you've probably visited from wildmichiganradio.com. So 10 years in the business, and prior to that 10 years, I was filling in and partially producing a show called The Wildlife that aired on WJR. My good friend Steve Gruber from Wolf Creek Productions and the Outdoor Channel with Outdoor America was doing that show, and I got this harebrained idea that, hey, maybe I could do an outdoor show someday, and all of a sudden, bam, it happens, and I had no idea what the hell I was doing. But 10 years later, I think we've worked it out a little bit, and Steve and his wife Ivy join us right now from Boyne City. How are you guys?
Duran, and congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you.
I still have no idea what I'm doing. And can I ask you about one thing before we get into the
Absolutely.
Conversation
here? Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be more accurate to call it Unlucky Buck after what happens at the end of the day? I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, you know, yeah. you could go a lot of ways on that, but the stuff works, man. We've been using it for the past, I think.
Oh, so have I.
We've been using it for 5 years. Yeah, and then the you know, product is great, and we just have to shift places we can use it. It's not a big deal. You know, they still sell it. We still use it, and it works out well. Let's go back 10 years to when I got to help you produce a show called The Wildlife on WJR. That was your foray into outdoors radio, and then all of a sudden this thing happened.
Yeah, you know, you came along and you were highly recommended as a producer, and I guess that's where you and I really got together on this thing. So that would have been a little bit longer. That would have been like 2003 or 4.
Yeah.
And then you got this wild harebrained scheme to do it like on a weekly basis. But from what I can tell, you know, I pick you up on all sorts of stations when I'm cruising around Michigan. So you're out there. People have embraced you and the idea, and I know in many ways you're kind of a novice in the outdoors. You did a lot of first things since you launched that radio program, first time doing this and first time doing that. And what a great deal of fun it sounds like.
It has been. And the thing is, I mean, look, I've known you probably over 20 years now, which the outdoor has been a business for you for a long time. But, you know, just having hunted and fished a lot of the ways, not the right way, getting some of the best people in the industry to come on the show and talk about their experiences. Believe me, I've learned from every show we've had, and I hope our listeners have, too. It's been fun. And we're going to learn about something with you today, because you always plan for the obvious when you go on a long distance hunt, and you have traveled the world hunting with Outdoor America and the other shows that you've done. And you always plan for the obvious. You take your clothes, you take your guns, your bows, everything, you know, your ammunition, everything that you expect to happen. But there are things that unexpectedly happen that are sometimes beyond our control. But let's set this up a little bit. You and your lovely wife, Ivy, we're going to New Zealand. You're going to hunt red stag. And set this up for us a little bit, because for those who don't know the red stag and don't know the New Zealand terrain, there was a lot of training for both of you before you even went.
Well, there certainly was. And Ivy's here with me as well. And so you go ahead and say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Yes, I mean, it was an incredible experience. Getting ready to go about, I'd say, 6-8 weeks of really hardcore training.
We were
getting
at the gym all the time.
Yeah, because it is mountain terrain, hiking every single day. So you definitely had to get ready, be in shape, just so you could really enjoy the
hike. And the real experience for you, I think, was in part because it was at altitude. See, Ivy grew up in Florida, and she's been here in Michigan. We're not exactly towering over the world here.
Nah,
we're flatlanders.
We're flatlanders.
Time, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so when we got up there at altitude, and you're hunting red stag, which is a very close relative to the American elk, the North American elk, if you will. It's smaller in stature, but has great antler growth and just a magnificent animal, and they go into the when they're in the mood, Duran, it's called the roar instead of the rut, but it's the roar, and they make this real guttural. Ooh, that's pretty good imitation right there, by the way. Yeah, they make this sound. Sounds a bit like my brother when he doesn't feel well, but it's really kind of what it sounds. Anyhow, so we went over there and we did shoot our crossbows, because we took the Excalibur crossbows, and I practiced, and Ivy had been practicing, and we had had a really good fall in 2015, where we got some great animals in Ohio, and Ivy had just killed a great turkey in Ohio, in April, before we headed over there in May. So we had done the time in the gym, and we had shot our equipment, familiar with it, and really excited to go.
You know, and that's something that, look, even as hunters here in Michigan, we don't really train. I have learned over the years to get in better shape, and well, you know, you slack a little bit, but you're never, I don't care what anybody says, you never really train for hunting, even in Michigan. And when you try and haul a deer out of the woods by yourself that's 150 plus pounds or whatever, mm-hmm. it's a lot of work, and your body's
now,
physically
weird,
not
Duran.
Ready.
You were just honest. You see, I thought, and Ivy and I have learned, that every deer that comes out of the woods is 250 pounds. I shot a 250-pound deer. Yeah, right until it goes on the scales when it weighs 146 pounds. Well, it felt like 250. Yeah. Everything's heavier until you got a scale around. My father taught me that years ago.
Absolutely. But, you know, and we don't train for that. And now, even in the latest edition of Michigan Out of Doors magazine, they're talking about training to hunt. And it's very essential. Even if you're not going to New Zealand to hunt red stag in mountainous terrain, it's still better that you be in some sort of shape other than round, like myself, as I've returned to that shape, to be better prepared to go up into the tree.
Well, you enjoy it more.
Yeah, absolutely. And should something occur, which we will get to in a few minutes, you may have a better chance of surviving that.
Well, that's exactly right. And first of all, if you're in better physical condition, even if it's an improvement of 10% or 15%, you will enjoy the time spent, whether it's here in Michigan or Montana or halfway around the world in New Zealand. You will enjoy your experience if you know, aren't out of breath all the time, don't feel run down all the time. So even if you can improve your health some, ride a bike, go for a walk. You know, a friend of mine went and ran up and down the sand dunes here a few years ago, getting ready for an alpine hunt, going after mountain goats out west. And that's the way he trained. He just, you know, beat himself, you know, bloody for 8 or 10 weeks, but it really paid off because he was in better shape. And what you're alluding to is in being better shape in case you have some sort of a mishap along the way, because it can certainly change the direction of how things are going to turn out.
Especially if you are a long distance away from home and maybe even out of the country. Again, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Speaking with Steve and Ivy Gruber from the Outdoor Channel's Outdoor America. Of course, you've done lots of things with Wolf Creek, and we'll touch base on that in a little bit as well. But setting up this big stag hunt that happened earlier this year, and this is some stuff you're definitely going to want to hear. So stick around for Steve and Ivy. We're going to talk more about that hunt and the what happened. You're going to want to hear with the what happened, even if you're going to cringe throughout the whole thing. So Steve and Ivy, hang on. We're going to talk more with you guys here in a couple of minutes. Listening to Wild Michigan, I'm Duran Martinez. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Michigan's own, now in Hillsdale, Michigan. You can find Lucky Buck, the new headquarters. Love that new building, man. Really digging it. Check them out there on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, on the Michigan Talk Network. Thank you.
Buzz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, joined by our friends Steve and Ivy Gruber. They are up in Boyne City, Michigan right now. Steve, the host of the Steve Gruber Show right here on the Michigan Talk Network, Monday through Friday. Does some weekend things as well. And been a big part of this show since we started in September of 2006. Being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses. Definitely, truly the clearest lenses on the planet. And, man, I tell you, fishing or hunting, I love my Costa sunglasses, and you can check them out. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Now, getting back to Steve and Ivy, you guys were geared up. You've been training hard for New Zealand. And Steve, real quickly, you already had an ankle injury of sorts prior.
Well, I had I was born with a clubbed foot. Yes, I was born with a birth defect clubbed foot, so I had a fused ankle. It never really slowed me down much, but because of the fused ankle, I have my calf on the right side is atrophied. It's all locked up. The foot is, it's fairly compromised to begin with. It never slowed me down much. I played sports in high school, and I've been able to tromp all over the planet. I have some pain issues with it because it's awkward and doesn't work properly. It's like walking on a brick oftentimes. But, you learn to accommodate because it's all I've ever known. It's been that way since, it was fused when I was a year and a half old. I don't know any different.
Well, didn't you play college football also?
Well, I place kicked with that foot, a la Jack Dempsey. Yeah, I kicked with that club foot straight on. I played in high school. I played kicked in high school and kicked some in college as well. And, I can still drop. Well, today I can't kick with it, I don't think. But prior to the 6th of May of this year, I could kick with it just fine.
Now let's set this up. You were out stag hunting in New Zealand, and from the pictures, it looks like you were both quite successful. You got a couple of stags that have these beautiful chandeliers above their heads.
Well, they are incredible. And I'll just give you the story here as I know it, because the second stag, Ivy's stag, I've never seen. And you'll understand why here in a second. We get there, and New Zealand is a fabulous, wonderful, clean, green place, and Ivy is absolutely in love with it.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
It's an incredible place. The people are terrific. And so we get out, and we go about the third day of the hunt. I think it was Tuesday or 4th or whatever. I line up this incredible stag that you can put up in your Facebook page or wherever you might share with your listeners here. And I pull the trigger on the Excalibur at 65 yards, and I pinwheel him. I mean, it was an awesome shot.
65 yards. It was the most incredible thing. I'm just watching it float down and then impact.
Yeah, because the animal, he's bedded, and we sneak up. We're peeking over this ridge, and I'm kind of locked up, kind of standing halfway up over this ridge, peeking. And I'm probably there for 30 minutes to the point that, I'm trying to cramp up. Is he going to move? What should I do? And boom, he stands up. He takes a couple of steps, and I have the perfect shot. The cameraman gets it all. It's like the greatest shot. I've been doing this for a long time, as you mentioned. It's like the greatest shot ever. He folds up. We get over there. We do all the follow-up, the grip and grins, and Ivy just thinks it's incredible. She doesn't actually see the shot because she's tucked behind the hill. Basically, the only people that saw the actual shot were me and the photographer, but it was sweet.
It was sweet. And then the stag went about 40 yards and just
piled up. And that was it. So
it was in pretty incredible spot and stock, though.
It was. So then we start the next day at dawn with Shane Johnston, our guide and outfitter. Guy's awesome at New Zealand Four Seasons Safaris, if you want to look it up. He really is terrific, Shane Johnston. And so Ivy starts doing the spot and stalks, and she, gets close, but it doesn't come together. And you try and...
Yeah, I mean, you had a really great, lucky first day out.
It was incredible. You
couldn't really beat that. But for me, it was 4 days in, and I had made attempts on three to, and then the fourth stag, and I just never could get close enough. The light would, fall. The Excalibur was incredible, and I'm just had it loaded up, and I'm ready to go, and nothing ever came in. Finally, it was the couple days of, day before that we're gonna leave.
Last
day, I'm in a great spot, and here come five incredible stags. I mean, the one that I shot was the smallest in the bunch. So
I've seen the picture. It's not small.
It wasn't small. Now, I wasn't there, okay? So her and Shane, they slide down this hill in mm-hmm. front of me. And you'd have to know Shane Johnson. He like skips up mountains like a leprechaun. It's really irritating to people like you and me, Durant.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm telling you. He's a sheep hunter, you know, thin, sinewy. I hate it. Anyhow, he comes running back past me like 10 minutes before the end of the day. And he doesn't say anything, and he grabs the Polaris Ranger, and he goes cruising on. I'm just sitting there. I'm looking, reading my book, you know, like a half a mile from where the action is, because they decided just to go with the smallest crew possible. And I'm like, I wonder what went on there. So anyhow, I learned that Ivy had planted this arrow.
Yeah, I shot it, and it ran off, so we were, you know, going to recover it. It really started to get dark at that point in time, and...
So this is where it goes sideways.
Yes.
See, so her and Shane, I mean, she had planted this arrow, but as sometimes happens when you're hunting, the animal didn't go right down, so mm-hmm. they're blood trailing it. And I'm sitting back at the Polaris Ranger, one of these big double-seated Polaris
sure.
Rangers, and I watch them go up and over the hill, and I'm like, all right, well, it's been dark for 45 minutes maybe, and I'm like, you know, they kind of went that way, we saw some deer run off that way. I said, you know what, to the guy next to me, I said, let's just cruise up there and see if we can maybe find him and help him out, no big deal. Well, I didn't go but about a couple of hundred yards, and I stopped. I said, you know, and I'm thinking I'm on a two-track at this time, I'm like, I'm not really sure where we are, so let's just go back to where the Ranger was parked and just wait for them to come back. So I put the thing in reverse, cut the wheel to the right, and start to back up. I don't go 5 feet, and you can feel the thing starting to tip, and I'm like, oh crap.
Expletive.
And I can feel it coming over, and it's tipping towards me on the driver's side, and I was not buckled in, so my foul there. But I dive out of the vehicle, and I just about made it, except that the roll cage caught me just above that crippled foot, about a foot high of my heel, and crushed everything into the ground. And it was an experience, Durant. It was like nothing I have ever felt. And also, and I spun like a smashed cat, and some things came out of my mouth that probably are not repeatable on this radio program. My father would say the air filled with blue words, which
sure.
it did. And the guy would go, what'd you do? I said, I think I broke my leg. He goes, are you sure? I said, I don't know, but I've never felt anything quite like it. Anyhow, I mean, and I've got these images in my head that I've got bones sticking in, and I don't know how bad it is. I know it's
yeah.
bad. There's no question. I know it's bad, and I look back over my shoulder, and the Ranger didn't go all the way over, but it's like at a 30-degree angle, pointed downhill on its side, and so basically the roll cage came down onto the rocks and smashed my leg and bounced back up, so my leg came out from under it, but all of our gear is scattered all over, and here's where it gets weird. The guy's looking for the handheld radio to get in touch with the crew, and he finally gets on the radio and says, listen, we've had a bad accident. Steve's down. I need help right now. We've got to get him to a hospital. Bear in mind, Ivy and the guide are over somewhere over the hill. This is all she hears.
Oh, yeah, that's not
you're
good.
Badly hurt.
You're badly
hurt. She has
no
idea.
She's on the opposite side of the hill. We're speaking with Steve and Ivy Gruber here, talking about their stag hunt in New Zealand. And at this point, you've got a Polaris Ranger that has rolled over on top of you. Now, real quickly, we got about 30 seconds left in the segment. You were not alone, at least.
No, I wasn't alone, and things happened quickly, but I was in bad shape. I couldn't. It was a weird feeling. It felt like my foot was on fire.
Uh-huh.
It felt like it was cold. It felt like it was numb, and all at the same time. I knew something was grievously wrong at that point.
All right, we're going to catch up with Steve. We're going to find out how you handle being badly injured in a foreign country where you don't know what the health system's like. You don't know if you're going to make it, but at least they speak English. You listen to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Feeling like a dog on a collar, keeping that chain pulled tight.
waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. You are on the Michigan Talk Network, and our website is wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you in part by Darton Archery, Michigan's own, makers of the Toxin 150 SS. And their smoke and crossbow redesigned from last year. Got the new folding pistol grip on the front, and it is a smoking crossbow. And again, made right here in Michigan, DartonArchery.com. And when we last left our hero, Steve Gruber, our good friend, they're in New Zealand.
You made a very unsuperhero move.
Right. You know, because you weren't flash-like and didn't get out of the way in time. And, you know, you had rolled the Polaris Ranger over on to your already not 100% ankle. And what we talked about off air is let's set this up straight. There was no, hey, y'all, hold my beer. Hey, y'all, watch
None
this.
Of that.
Or I'm
no,
going
I had
in.
People ask me. So how fast were you going? Were you drinking? What was going on? None of that. In fact, it was about, you know, here it is, 6:30 at night. Ivy and Shane Johnson have gone over the hill to look for her stag blood trailing it, which he's got a good arrow into it. So I'm figuring that they've got to be right here close. Me and the guy with me, we run over there, decide, well, not really quite sure we are. Start to back up. Vehicle rolls, and I knew I was in trouble. It's just that sinking feeling when you lose your balance. You felt it going over, and so you bail out of the vehicle. And except for that last foot, I just about made it. And smash. I mean, and it's like the flash of light goes through your head, and you spin in a circle.
1 foot short. Is it too soon?
Too soon. But a
good Lord.
Wow.
1 foot short. Yeah. And she's the one that loves me. Good God. So at that moment, I'm yelling at him to find the radio. I said, dude, find the radio. And he's like, I'm looking. And so now you got to remember the pickup, the dump part of the Ranger was loaded with hunting gear and coolers and camera gear because we're there filming Outdoor America, of course, for Wolf Creek. We're there working. So we've got all this stuff scattered in a pile. He doesn't know where the radio is, and it's dark, and everything's, you know, ass over tea kettle, frankly. It's just it's a mess. And so finally he finds the radio, and he puts out that distress call, which is all that Ivy hears. And I know that I'm yelling at the guy going, where are they? Where is everybody? Why is anybody responding? And he's looking at me and goes, they did. They responded. They're on their way.
You were out
but
cold.
But Ivy told me. Well, I was just, my brain wasn't functioning properly.
Sure. Well,
I
can't imagine.
And Ivy said, you know, the longest, you know, 10 minutes was coming over that hill not knowing.
Oh, yeah, because we weren't as close as I think he thought we were. And as he traveled uphill in that Polaris without knowing it, you know, I'm making my way to him after hearing the call. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, this is the person that you love and your heart sinks, your mouth goes dry, you panic. You say, okay, what exactly happened? Because I didn't know what his injuries were like. So as we arrived on the scene, I mean, he's down on the ground. He's just in so much pain that I go right over to him. I didn't see anything. Of course, the biggest thing for me was the head injury. He wasn't bleeding on his head. That was okay.
I was younger when that happened.
Yeah. And I, you know, he said, it's my leg. So, you know, immediately the outfitter, Shane Johnston, just to say, okay, listen, this is the action plan we need to do. We got to get you off the hill. We got to get you to the hospital. We got to figure out what's going on with your leg.
I'll give credit to Shane Johnston and the whole crew. Greg and our photographer, who was incredible. He had like six or seven people that suddenly, I don't know where they appeared from. I mean, these people came from everywhere. There were people coming up the valley in other Rangers. And so our Ranger, because it's upside down, because the oil is dumped into the wrong part of the engine, our sure. Ranger is useless. They have to ride them and they have to sit there for 15 or 20 minutes before it's worth anything. So they bring into another vehicle. And then they pick me up and they carry me to the other Ranger. They realize I don't have any injuries like Ivy said around my head or neck or arms, but it's a shattered leg. And this is great. They take charge. It's like a military operation. It's run very well. They get me down off that mountainside slowly, basically propped up in the Ranger with my leg up, trying to keep it from, you know, exploding inside my boot, because you can feel the swelling now. I mean, it's instantaneous, and the swelling's going on, and you know things aren't right, and you're in shock at this point. So they get me down off the mountain into like a pole barn type building that
the
had
homestead,
like a
homestead, really.
Yeah, a homestead at the base of this property. Yeah. It's a huge property, thousands of acres. And they get me there. And then the one guy with them said, okay, let's get the boot off. And I'm scared to death at this point. I won't kid you. I'm thinking, I can't tell because, I again, it feels like my foot's been stuffed into boiling oil. It also feels numb in a way, and it also feels cold in a way. I have, in fact, even to this day, I have no feeling on the back of my leg from the knee to the heel. So this all makes sense now, knowing what I know now about the injury. So anyhow, we get the boot off. Okay, there's no compound fractures. I'm not looking at the broken end of a bone, at least not sticking out. And so I feel better about that. But here, let me just get rid of a couple of, you know, longstanding myths, if I may.
Sure, Dan. Sure.
First of all, the guy goes, can you move your toes? Yeah, it hurts like hell, but I can do it. Oh, heck, you nothing's broken. You're good. Let me assure you, there are multiple broken bones. We found out later there are 9 bones crushed in the injury, and the guy's having me move my toes. Wiggle them around.
Yeah, and his first metatarsal he had, it was completely shattered. So he could move the foot a bit.
Right.
And the toes a little, but it was excruciating.
So debunked
myth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's myth number one debunked, and the first metatarsal being the big bone on top of your foot behind your big toe, if you will. I mean, just destroyed. The second one was broken in half with a head snapped off from it, and multiple other breaks, and including the tibia, which is the small bone in your calf, if you will. Here's the second myth, because you hear this all the time, and I want you to think about this. Well, at least he died doing what he loved. Let me tell you something. There is no reward in that. That is complete and utter not. Well, at least Steve died while he was hunting doing what he loved. Let me explain something to you. That is garbage. That is bunk.
No, here's
that
my question.
Absolute nonsense.
Now, knowing you both as well as I do, speaking with Steve Gruber and Ivy Gruber here on the Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network, you know, a good wife is not thinking about the insurance policy at this time. I'm thinking to myself.
Did not care. No.
See, so and that's about, that is true love. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. She doesn't care about that. She. But people have asked us a lot, and I expect you would too, because you know people that hunt in
sure.
Africa or Canada or Mexico or New Zealand or wherever. Even if you go somewhere out of state and you have something happen, you're not in your hometown. You're not in the hospital you may have been to, you know, with yourself or your kids previously. It's unfamiliar territory. So we get wheeled into the New Zealand hospital, and on the way, Shane says, "Well, you know, this is an accident. I don't think you get charged for this." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And I learned at that time that back in the 70s, New Zealand got rid of all. You can't sue anybody. Personal injury lawsuits don't exist mm-hmm. in the nation of New Zealand. And at the same time, they got rid of all the ambulance chasers, if you will. They also put in a deal, kind of like workman's comp, and they pay a little bit nationwide in their taxes each year, so that if you get injured in an accident, you're covered. Even if you're an American or wherever you're from, if you're injured in an accident, you know, no matter what you do, roll a ranger, get in a car accident, fall off a hill, whatever it is, you're covered. So that was kind of interesting. Their hospital cover, they were decent. They weren't fancy,
mm-hmm.
but they were clean. And I will say this. The nursing staff was incredible.
Yeah.
I think that the nursing staff, and we ended up in the hospital for 2 different stretches. The original stretch there for several days. And then the second stretch, because I was feeling pretty good after a few days and I was released and I've got a cast on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some problems occur after that.
And then,
yes,
and,
I mean.
Go ahead, Ivy.
Yeah, it just from there. I mean, really, the first day that we're in the hospital, you know, you're just it's such an unfamiliar territory. You're wondering, do the doctors know what they're doing? Do the nurses know what they're doing? You know, they put an IV in Steve's arm, and it like bled all over the place. They couldn't get it, and they like left the pool of blood next to him
for hours.
For hours,
it was bizarre. It was that
so
was
I'm
bizarre.
Going, he's gonna die, and it's just a broken leg.
Yeah. Again, the insurance policy never came to mind. That's true love.
Never came to mind. No, but at the same time, that I'm seriously, there's a puddle of blood next to me. Literally, they're there for 6 hours. They never cleaned it up. I'm thinking, that's weird. And then they're pouring morphine to me in 3 different ways. Shots of morphine that was like grape Kool-Aid. They got main lines. They're giving me pills. And Ivy's like, he can't take it. Stop.
Okay.
He can't take anymore.
Hold on. We'll talk about your drug addiction in a minute. Just kidding. Listen to Wild Michigan. We're talking with my good friend Steve and Ivy Gruber here. Oh, the trip from hell to New Zealand. Although it kind of worked out well because we're talking to him right here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
a gun rack hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, celebrating 10 years of Wild Michigan. Our official 10th anniversary will be September 30th. At that point in time, I will be in Alaska and on my honeymoon. So it's going to be fun. We're going to looking forward to that. And speaking with Steve and Ivy Gruber here from the Outdoor Channel's Outdoor America. Steve, real quickly, I've hunted Canada. I've hunted Wyoming. I've hunted, you know, all over the state of Michigan, and the one thing, you know, we've hunted with groups and everything else, one thing we've never talked about, and this may come as a surprise to many, is we never talked about a what if plan in case of an emergency. We've never talked about that because we never thought anybody was going to happen. Now is why we're talking.
It happens to people. And you can actually buy insurance policies, and there's several of them out there if you do some research, that if you're injured in a foreign country, I'll liken it to a life flight type thing. I know that's not what it's called, but there are basically air ambulances that if you're injured in Mexico or Canada in a severe way, they'll make sure you get home. We ended up getting stranded for an extra 2.5 weeks because the doctor said you absolutely cannot fly because of the severe swelling, and it's a 13-hour flight from Auckland to Houston. If you have massive swelling 6 hours into the flight, you could land with, and this is the way the doctor put it, Duran, with a non-viable limb. That's a term I wasn't really that fond of. No. A non-viable limb really wasn't an option for me. But I want to focus on something here because it's an important part of the story. Because you talked about, you know, whether you live or die and so on and so forth. So I want to say something here. So we never found Ivy's deer. The night of the injury happens, obviously that stops. Don't know where her stag is. Noah's nearby, but that was no longer the focus. Their focus was getting me off the mountain, making sure I was taken care of. So I get to the hospital where they, you know, they fill me full of morphine and whatnot, and I was screaming for more. I mean, it was incredible. I wanted to use all sorts of colorful words, and I just said, wow. When they get these big rushes of pain, I would just yell, wow, at the top of my lungs. So you're in a hospital. You don't want to, you know, F-bomb in there, for Lord's sake, or something bad.
You don't know me.
So anyhow, Ivy is there. She barely sleeps, but she goes back the next day with less than 2 hours of sleep. They find her stag. They finish the TV show. They do all these incredible things, and I'm in the hospital, you know, half out of it. And so she returns, and she says, you know what? With all that has happened here, and you're in the hospital, and you have this shattered leg, and we knew it was going to be pretty severe, and the recovery time was going to take a while, all that considered, it could have been a lot worse because where I rolled it, she told me, was the only place.
Yes, I had gone back because I had to finish the show, had to find the stag. And I went to where he tipped it over, and he tipped it on the only flat spot that he could have. 5 feet any other direction, it would have been a 40-foot drop down, and it's probably very likely that the Polaris would have never stopped rolling. So who knows what the injuries could have been, and I consider it as he's very lucky to be alive. We are very blessed in that regard. And you always have to have a plan if something goes wrong when you go out of the country, when you go hunting. It's just really, really important because you never think it's going to happen to you. And when it does, you have to really have a plan in place because, I mean, I'll have to say thank you to all of the people that helped us. I mean, and because we were stuck there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But if you have pets, if you have bills that need to get paid, whatever the case may be.
I mean, I'll say this. The people from the radio station, for example, you and all the people at the Michigan Talk Network and everything, stepped right up. There was no question. They covered the job. The friends that we had watching the house, their kids said, listen, I can watch the dogs for 2 weeks, no problem. These things happen in very short order. But when Ivy came back and said, listen, 4 or 5 feet in either direction, you'd gone off a 40 or 50-foot cliff, and maybe you would have survived, and quite honestly, maybe you wouldn't have. That's pretty sobering, at which point you say, you know what? I'm pretty happy with a broken leg. I'm going to hobble around, and it's going to be a pain in the butt, but that's the way it's going to be, and I'm glad to be here. And I was really lucky to have her because from there we did have some more adventures. We rented a car, which had the steering wheel on the wrong side of the car, and then the car was supposed to drive on the wrong side of the road. So, and I'm in the back of this Toyota, whatever it was, and I've got my foot propped up when we were finally out of the hospital on the center console. While Ivy's driving, of course, I'm just a
little hollering in the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
Hollering.
That'd be me.
Well,
backseat driver a little bit. But then a couple days in, the even more frightening, all of a sudden the leg is in great pain again.
Oh.
And we whip into a clinic and we find out that it's infected, which I think for both of us was probably as scary as...
It was just as scary as the break because, okay, all right, we've gotten through the foot being broken. Now we have an infection in another country.
Yeah, and that's, you know, infections, you know, frightening when you're... And I look at it because we don't know. The foot's blown up like a balloon. It's turning all sorts of colors, and I'm thinking, well, that's, you know, that's the bruising, that's the, you know, the blood vessels breaking. No, it was the infection trying to eat my foot, you know, which is pretty rude, frankly, to eat my foot like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't invited or anything, and all of a sudden it's going to come in and take over.
So, I mean, but all things considered, the New Zealand people, I mean, for you and your new bride, Duran, I mean, I know you're going to Alaska, great place to be, love Alaska, but New Zealand needs to be on people's list. We ended up spending time on the South Island, driving, the food was incredible.
Food was incredible. Everything is very locally sourced, incredible wine, incredible people. We couldn't be had been more grateful for the experience that we had, even though the circumstances of Steve having an incredibly broken foot. We did get to see some of the island and really get to visit with a lot of the people. And we did have an incredible experience, regardless.
You know, the circumstances were unusual, but no, the people are fabulous. They are. The hunting is incredible. The fishing's great. Go on.
I was going to say, for the average person, what is a stag hunt run? I mean, look, you're going to have trophy feeds and the like, but...
It depends. It depends on how big of an animal you go for and how much you want to do. Mm-hmm. But I can safely say that for about $10,000, you can have just one whale of an experience where you kill a stag, maybe go on a jet boat and fish a little bit. I mean, it won't be the world's biggest stag, but you can get a pretty good stag with a trophy fee around $5,000-$6,000. You throw an airline fee on there of $1,800. You know, you do some sightseeing, whatever. You know, you can get a bigger stag. But about $10,000, you can do really, really well. If you want to spend a little bit more, if you've got that kind of success the last couple of years, you say, hey, I want to go do this. Yeah, you spend 10 to 15, you're going to have an incredible trip. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and the exchange is easy. And they speak English, like you say. And they like beer.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like Ireland. Yeah, I mean, they have a smaller version of a stag as well. But the hunting's a bit different. To get in hunting over there, you really got to know somebody. But New Zealand, at least you have the opportunity to buy tags. And we just got about a minute and a half left in the segment. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not a native species to New Zealand.
That's correct. Nothing is native to New Zealand. In fact, when Captain Cook found it about 1770 and planted a flag in it, the only thing there were flightless birds, insects, and a few reptiles, all vertebrate mammals, which is crazy thinking how close it is to Australia. There were no vertebrate mammals living on the two major islands of New Zealand, North and South Island. They got a few other islands, Stewart Island to the south, but there was nothing there. All the animals have been red stag, bull tar, chamois, moose, wapiti, even some whitetails, some good whitetails in a couple of areas have all been introduced, along with everything else, including pigs and goats and sheep and everything. So, but it's a great place. And if I could, I would like to say, listen, go check the guy out. Shane Johnston, he is an incredible guy, not because he got me off the mountain, but I've hunted with him three times now. Ivy had an incredible experience.
Oh, yes. Amazing.
Shane and Vanessa are wonderful. It's called New Zealand Four Seasons Safaris. New Zealand Four Seasons Safaris. Really incredible people, and they can tailor it to you. And if you have a spouse that wants to go along and not hunt, like if, well, you know, if your wife wants to hunt and you just want to go shopping, Duran.
Yeah, that'd be
Vanessa will take you to Vanessa will take you to town shopping so you can go get some trinkets and whatnot. So it's, I mean, they will set it up and customize whatever. And I think a lot of the folks in New Zealand will do that. I would strongly recommend, though, if you have one chance to go to New Zealand, go to the South Island. Big mountains, big rivers, big wild open spaces. The North Island's more flat, cool place. But if you have one choice, I'd go south.
All right, Steve and Ivy Gruber, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you telling us that that story because, look, I was getting ready to go to a Lansing Lugnuts baseball game. I got a phone call. Steve's in the hospital. My leg's broken and my foot's broken in nine places. You need to do my show. One word. Okay.
Okay.
The other one, get better.
Well, yeah, it was an incredible, like I say, it was one of those, you have seminal moments in your life where you realize how blessed you truly can be. And I think that was a moment for not just me, but for Ivy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we had a chance to reflect on that. And, you know, we had a chance to spend a couple of 2.5 extra weeks there.
Sure.
Talking to each other, talking about, how do you face challenge? How do you overcome an obstacle? How do you, you know, get through these difficult portions of your life? And so a lot of faith, a lot of friends, and a lot of dedication between the two of us.
Well, absolutely. And again, you know what? If anything came out of this story, and I was glad to share this time with both of you, it was have a game plan. Do not hunt alone. I mean, plain and simple, the things we talk about all the time, this is what can happen. At least Steve is alive to tell us about it. Check him out on the Michigan Talk Network. Go to the Steve Gruber Show. You can see him on the Outdoor Channel with Outdoor America. He and Ivy will be on there. And we'll be looking for that stag hunt. So glad that you were here to share that story with us, both of you. And we appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.